Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Good evening, boys, girls, and dogs of all ages. We are here tonight on a special night. Our man Robbie, first of all, my normal co-host Robbie Baseball, his son is having some surgery tonight, and that's why he is not with us. So we are going to, you know, remember, and you know, if you're a praying type, do some praying for Robbie and making sure and his son and making sure all that goes okay. But I am your normal co-host, big gentle Ben, Benjamin Chase, and I am here with Duke Hill, the purveyor of Prospect Savant. If you are a Prospect fan and you have not yet gone to ProspectSavant.com, you are truly missing out right now. I will say I use it at least a half dozen times every week when I put together my weekly article. I will say, Duke, I actually, in preparation for this, and I took a look at the leaderboards, and I'll say I usually go specifically looking up players, so I don't spend a lot of time looking at leaderboards. But man, your leaderboards make me feel like I'm really smart, because there's some people that I was really, really high on that are very high on your leaderboards. So
let me tell you, I feel exactly the same way. I imagine we'll get into this after I introduce it and everything. But like, yeah, I originally that sorting method was just kind of like, how do I sort this table for me to see if it's looking right? But then I got PS score to like a point where it was spitting out, you know, a list like that, and like, especially if you look at the 2024 list, like, let me pull up the 2024 list right now. I mentioned this on Cards and Categories, but yeah, for like 500 pitch qualifier, the top names for 2024 for PS score, it's James Wood, Roman Anthony, Jackson Holliday. Not sure why Nick York is in there, but then Junior Caminero, Tyler Soderstrom, Dylan Cruz, Jason Dominguez. So like, it's clearly, the formula is clearly working out, and it's clearly onto something.
So see, if you folks would have been paying attention to this before the season, you wouldn't have said that I was a homer for saying that Drake Baldwin was going to be something. So, you know, there you go.
When I first started developing it, I made some posts on like Reddit or something about Drake Baldwin specifically, because his page was so red. And I was like, hey, like, Braves fans, baseball people, like, what's the deal with Drake Baldwin? Why is he not a top 100 prospect? And, you know, I got some negative responses. They were like, well,
yeah,
you know, because he's not a great hitter. Yeah, so I went and I bought a whole bunch of Drake Baldwin cards.
Now he's gonna
be the rookie of the year, it seems like. I'm feeling very vindicated about that.
Since the Brewers actually started losing games, and that might hurt Isaac Collins now, because that was about that he went from distant second or maybe even third to now he's absolutely in the discussion as far as the top guy. And most of it was during that recent Brewers winning streak.
It's been a little all over the place, the rookie of the year in the National League specifically, because, like, you know, Mizorowski popped up and people were like, oh, Mizorowski is just going to win because he's going to have a zero ERA for the rest of this year and we'll have to give it to him.
Yeah, I think everyone kind of figured after seeing Skeens that maybe Mizorowski would be that guy this year, and he's not, but he's certainly
Bo Chandler.
Yeah.
But they, I guess they're just, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Bo Chandler. He's starting to pitch a little bit worse in AAA, and he's getting up to, I think, over 100 innings now. And it's kind of the point where, like, I don't know, I guess you could call him up for a couple big league starts to try him out.
Yeah. So we have some news to start off things, and we'll kind of blast through this, and then we'll get back into some more discussion with Duke and kind of talk through some of this stuff. But first of all, another member of our Palazzo podcast family added to his family this week. Mike Virginia welcomed a daughter to the world. She came a little early. He was expecting not to have to do that for a while. Named her Bryce. He is a Virginia guy, but he's also a Baltimore Orioles guy, so I'm not sure how that works.
I'm a Virginia guy. I've lived in Virginia most of my life, and I'm a Baltimore Orioles guy. Like, I would never support the Nationals. I'll put it out there. I'm proud of that.
So we did have some. We had some big name Major League debuts this week.
Oh yeah, we did.
One of them, and actually, I put it on this list because he was called up, but I didn't see if he actually debuted tonight. But Max Acosta, shortstop mostly, a lot of infield with Miami. One of my favorite guys coming into this year. I think there's a really high floor for him. Don't know how much his ceiling will be, but he's really picked up the power this year. Way more than I ever expected. Lewinder Avila, a right-handed reliever for Kansas City, came up, made one appearance, and went back down, and I kind of think that's the type of arm he might be. Samuel Basalo, this is a top five prospect in all of baseball, came up.
Yeah, this is the guy I've been waiting for all year.
Yes, I think everyone is, and everyone is really on that. And Chad helping us out in the comments down here that Acosta is starting at second base and batting eighth. So he will make his debut. So I'm not incorrect in putting him on this list. Yes, Basalo. And then the next one that we're going to also mention is Dylan Beavers. The Orioles knew this season was pretty much a lost thing. And so that's why you haven't seen them yet. And I would guarantee that they are going to pull the same thing they did with Heston Kjerstad. And they are going to get them right up to that 130 at-bats threshold. And then no more. And that's it. And
yeah, I
save them.
I very confidently made a post like 2 or 3 weeks ago, which I don't love confidently saying stuff super definitively, but I made a post basically saying, like, the Orioles will call up Dylan Beavers and Basayo like the week of the 15th, once the PPI date passes. Just because, I mean, they were putting out just the worst outfields, the worst lineups I'd ever seen. Like, I went to a game a couple, like, last Sunday, and it was an outfield of, I think, Greg Allen, Jeremiah Jackson, and I can't even remember the third name, if that tells you just the kind of, you know, lineups that they're rolling out day to day.
And unlike my favorite team, the Braves, who are suddenly getting all of their lineup back and finding that apparently Joey Wentz has something in his tank, and Hurston Waldrop figured some things out this year. They're going to be kind of a beast, I think, over the next 2 months. Baltimore's really not got that coming back. They don't have they traded away a lot of the guys that they were hoping were going to be the incremental pieces.
Yeah, nine guys on the 26-man roster got moved. So a full, more than a third of the team shipped off.
So I think it'll be good. I'm really interested in seeing what Dylan Beavers does. He is, I'm I really thought he was going to be a high offense fourth outfielder because he could handle all four outfield spots. But he also has, he's a, from what my watching of him, he's a very streaky hitter where he can go on a 330 run for 3 weeks, and then he'll go on a 220 run for 3 weeks. And that can be tough to own in fantasy, but if you balance it out over the course of the year, a roto league, he's an amazing guy to have because by the end of the year, he's going to probably be 270-ish. He's got some power. He's got some speed. That's a great guy to have. I also enjoyed having him. The comments, I enjoyed watching him in college. The comments that have always been there. Dylan Beavers went to Oregon. They played Oregon State, who were the Beavers. And so those jokes have been around for about, you know, half a decade at this point. And but they're still made, and a lot of folks still think they're new. So good for them.
We'll move on here. There are a lot of Orioles fans who, you know, aren't super up to date with the prospects, and we're gonna get our run of Beavers jokes in. Like, I'm sure I've already got plenty in. Yeah, I have a ton to say about Beavers.
He does, you know, the rest of the season you do have an option to say the word damn a whole lot and not be cursing, because you could just be making a joke about Beavers, and so there you go. It helps when you're having a tough season. You need a reason to curse. So
I don't need an excuse to curse. So, am I allowed to swear on this podcast? Absolutely.
We curse, and we have overused the Hawk Tua drop to the point where we're kind of been told not to do it anymore, but that's okay. We often make references to Wander Franco when we get into certain discussions. So, well,
we're talking about the minors, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Up. Right there. See, you get it. Owen Casey, I got some bad information, and I've had to own up on this. I had a friend who works around the Iowa Cubs. I don't want to get too much into detail for protecting that source of information, but told me that essentially Owen was told that he was coming up in order to be a platoon outfielder. A platoon member. And the person that made the most sense, because he's right-handed, was Sayuki. And so I said, you know, it looks like he's coming up. He's been told that he's going to be getting regular at-bats. And then he went a week. He played his first game and went a week before he got to play a second. And if I remember right, had something like three out of his four outs were hard hit balls. Yes, he went 0-for-4, but it was like he was hitting the crap out of the ball. He had one of the best defensive plays of the week made on his first attempt for a hit. I mean, so this is legit power. It's also a guy, if he gets 550 at bats, he's going to have 200 strikeouts. It's a long, loose swing, but it's a long, loose swing that generates a ton of power. The other guy that I kind of have, I mentioned very similar to Max Acosta as far as a high ups or a high floor major leaguer, is Nathan Church, a guy who can play around the outfield. Doesn't do anything amazing on offense, but does a lot of things well. And so one of those guys that probably is going to have a pretty decent career as a fourth outfielder. And if he happens to get a tick of extra power or extra speed going for him, he could be a low-level starter for a long time too. It's just that type of a player.
Yeah, he basically just played his way into this promotion, it seems like. Yes. Yeah, like you said, not really any huge standout tools, but like – I'm pretty sure his AAA OPS started with a 9, and it's like at that point, if you're keeping that up over however many plate appearances, and you're continuing to show that type of success, and it's like you're on a team that just shipped off however many players, you're going to get a shot, you know? I mean, especially like showing floor like that, I'm pretty sure what I had written down was that he just has a great idea of the zone. And that's kind of one big thing for prospects coming up, is if you don't have any discipline and you come up, major league pitchers are going to take advantage of that, because anyone who can pitch, you know, worth a damn is already in the big leagues.
We're going to get to one of those guys here as our last one who made a debut. But before that, we got to talk about Nolan McLean, because I wasn't sure that he was going to get called up this year. He's already passed the most innings he's ever thrown in his life. So this is definitely something to have him get called up and continue his adding innings at the major league level. Mm-hmm. But holy crap, that performance. You know, that's how you start off your major league career, is to come out and have a performance like that. That's the way you do it. And it sounds like they expect that Trevor McGill is going to need probably 2-3 more starts. So you're likely looking at, you know, he's got a rotation spot for a couple weeks. And that's, you know, at that point, yeah, maybe you do manage his innings and you toss him as a long man you toss him in the bullpen in some variety and he gets to work out the rest of the season in the majors. But Jeezka, he showed he belonged, that's for sure. And for those who don't remember, McLean is a guy who was a two-way player until he was drafted 2 years ago. He's only in his second year of focusing on pitching. That's incredible. He made it to the majors and pitched like that in his second full season as a pitcher. That's wow.
Yeah, I do have one specific note on him. One thing that Eno Saris keeps talking about a lot is when he runs his Step Plus model for the AAA numbers, you know, every month or so for his pitcher rankings, mm-hmm. McLean was like, I think maybe the top guy, if not Bubba Chandler and Mizorowski, but he was up there as being one of the best stuff guys in all of AAA.
Yeah, he was. Eno was very, very excited to watch this debut when I was listening to their pod last week. So I'm sure I'm curious. I guess I haven't listened to hear what he had to say about it yet so far. So I'm sure I'll get to enjoy listening to Eno. Just rave about McLean the next time they record. So,
I've been a little busy recently with the trade deadline and everything, so have not been able to get my daily rates and barrels and effectively.
Yeah, there you go.
as much as I would like to.
Yes. So last but not least, this is a guy who comes up and has a lot of what Duke was talking about here. Bob Seymour. Bob Seymour. I really wasn't. I will say I had him nowhere near my thoughts when we did the Tampa Bay system this offseason. This is a guy to me who looked like a typical quad A slugger who is going to hit 25 home runs in AAA for the next 5 years, maybe get a cup of coffee or two, and that's it. But instead he goes out and he was at one point leading all of minor league baseball in home runs. I don't know if he still has that total, but he's also a guy who absolutely does not control the zone at all.
I mean, he's swinging it. He's not literally every pitch that comes
in. He is not a three true outcomes guy. He is a two outcomes
guy. Either he hits it or he whiffs. You want to hear a really fun number though for Bob Seymour? 117.9. He hit a ball 117.9 this year. That's just absurd.
Hits one, it stays hit.
but he actually has to unfortunately make contact with it, which
I haven't looked today, but as of yesterday, I think he was 0-for-6 with 5 strikeouts or something to that effect so far in the majors. So not exactly he's kind of living up to what we all thought he would be. So well, you know, and funny part is here, Duke, as we move on to our promotions, I had no clue that you were a Baltimore Orioles fan.
But oh, really? Yeah,
The Orioles, actually, they had a really interesting, to me, couple of years in their, like, the back 5 rounds of their drafts. I've liked the players they've chosen, and they promoted a bunch of those guys this week, and so we'll mention a number of them. I actually happened to select them because I thought, you know, this is kind of a cool storyline we can talk about. But Michael Caldon is one of the guys. He's up to AA for Baltimore. And that was, and I just clicked off that page. He was an 18th rounder last summer. So already up. And he is a guy who went to Felician University.
Couldn't tell you
if
where that
you
is.
Are familiar with anyone else who has ever made it to the majors out of Felician University, good on ya. Just to let you know, the players who've been drafted out of Felician University are pretty much only. But Jerry Vosto in 2014 made the majors for one game.
Oh, of course. That is classic. I mean, everybody
that,
knows.
That is the extent of every player who has ever performed in the major leagues, or majors or minors, and been drafted out of Feliciano University. So he was a late round pick, and he's really done very well in single A. Obviously, he's older than most at the level.
Yeah.
Because he's a college guy pitching in low A, but certainly has been a very good, he's pitched kind of as a swing man. He now has 19 appearances in 65 innings. So, but from what I could find, the stuff is legit enough to where he might be able to be that type of a guy up the ladder. Maybe never a starter, but he could be that kind of a back end slash, you know, long reliever type. Then Austin Cates and White. See, I had all these up here, and then my computer decided it needed to do updates last night, and so I had these all prepared. I mean,
I'm you know, for the viewers out there, I'm on my mom's laptop because I'm visiting my parents right now in Norfolk, Virginia. My laptop crapped out on me right before this, so yeah. But you know, she's got a great podcasting setup here. Thank you so much, Mom.
So. Cates was a seventh round pick out of UNLV last year by the Blue Jays, and the Jays have done very well this year, having some guys pop up that just you didn't expect, and absolutely a guy with essentially 1 year at a decent sized college is a definite pop up guy, and he is up to high A for them. Feldon Celestine, if you don't know that name at this point, you really need to. He's not in the Sebastian Walcott, Leo DeVries level, but he is not that far behind that as far as talent goes. And he just got called up to high A. Wyatt Crowell, because the Dodgers always need to have more pitching prospects. Lefty has been performing very well in the Midwest League this year. He gets up to double A. The big name, well, actually two huge names this week, but one of the two biggest names, Leo DeVries, is now up to double A. Is just absurd that he is now up to double A. That is, wow. And I thought the Padres were pushing him, and he gets to the A's. Well,
it's because like, they just traded away their entire, you know, double A roster.
Yeah.
They probably had to call up some guys just to field a team. Like, yeah. For the Ryan O'Hearn, Ramon Laureano package, it was six
that
players.
Was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, speaking of trades, Matthew Etzel was traded from Tampa to Miami here at the deadline.
Last year he was traded by the Orioles to Tampa. I didn't know he was
to Tampa. Yet. Yeah, he's been a well-traveled guy. Great beard, by the way. If you have not seen Matthew Etzel's beard, he has one of the better beards in the minor leagues. He is up to AAA. This is kind of an all or nothing type of a hitter. Lots of raw talent, like as in could be a 2020 guy, but also could also strike out 150 times for you. So it's just a whole lot of raw, even though he's in AAA now. Aiden Fuller is the guy who move up to high A for the Dodgers when Crowell got called up. So again, like the Dodgers needed another pitching prospect, but they have some more. Then we got a couple of Baltimore guys who were late round guys. Michael Foret was drafted in 23 in the 14th round, and he's up to high A. The big one that I really like here, Nate George, was a high school pick in the 16th round last year. Man, does he look like a smart pick right now. And
he's already up to number 8 on pipeline for the Orioles, which is very surprising for a 16th rounder from last year.
Yeah. And quite frankly, he's shown it. I think there was some question on his signability after he got out of the top like 7-8 rounds. But Baltimore got him, and man, he's been everything you could ask for. This week, the other huge name is Connor Griffin. arguably the number one prospect in all of baseball, and he is now up in Double A year after being drafted as a high school draft pick. That's
absurd.
Incredible to me. Jackson Kent, who was a couple of years ago a really interesting high school arm and then has gone through some injury stuff, or was he high school or college? Regardless, he was very interesting arm coming into the draft and then has gone through some injury stuff, but he has made it up to Double A now. Because Milwaukee always just needs to have more arms, Tate Cooner is the name, lefty that is now up to Triple A. That'll be kind of fun to watch. He is actually one I'm really interested to kind of see how things work their website with, because I have heard some really interesting things about his deception and extension, and basically that this is a guy that could be their next Freddy Peralta type.
Yeah.
Maybe not a dominant fastball, but does a lot of other things that keep hitters off balance.
Yeah, I kick myself every day that I don't add an extension slider to the site.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be there soon, I promise. I just
so busy. So, I'll bring up one Brave here because I think this is an interesting one. David McCabe, he is recovering this year from Tommy John surgery and he's moved back to where he has played almost all third base since I think about early May, because they very intentionally want to create more trade value, I think, this offseason with him, but he is coming up to AAA right now for the Braves. Carlos Pena, no, not that Carlos Pena, the left-handed pitching prospect for the Tigers, is now up to AAA. Another Toronto interesting arm, Fernando Perez, is up to AA. And one of my personal cheese balls, Connor Prelip, the Twins took him. He's lefty. The Twins took him, I believe, out of Alabama. And then he had Tommy John. And he's pitched in the rotation, but pitching's a lot of short outings this year. But he's going to come up to AAA and get a chance at that level. I really think if the Twins wanted to uncork him next year, he could be in the back of their bullpen. If he's going to start,
they got rid of everybody. So
yeah, nice. Oh, absolutely. For a lefty arm, if you put him in a bullpen spot where he could just crank it up, he already sits upper 90s with the fastball, and has a wicked slider. You let him just kind of concentrate on two, three pitches and just really dial it up. Oh, that could be a lot of fun.
It's hard to be a lefty who can throw upper 90s and not be in the big leagues, basically. If you can
pretty much
you can throw a baseball in the strike zone as a lefty in the upper 90s, you will probably be in a major league bullpen.
And unless you decide to take something you shouldn't, Jose Alvarado. So Christian Zazueta. Now there is a name that you should know that name, because Christian Zazueta is a pretty solid prospect, but B, you don't get a whole lot of Z last names, and it's always fun when one starts to succeed a little bit. But of course he's with the Dodgers organization. So another pitcher up to high A, and he has got some really fun stuff. Last little bit of news here is, unfortunately, Zach Wheeler had a really scary injury. You are a Zach Wheeler owner. I would be very surprised if you have not. I will be surprised if you have not seen his last pitch thrown this year.
It just makes me so sad that he's not going to get his Cy Young this year. Because, I mean, how many second places has he gotten at this point? And it's probably going to be another one.
Yes. And unfortunately, he was in a really – he was arguably the best of a really mediocre field. Last year, I get – there's a lot of Phillies fans who are upset that Chris Sale was the guy. But Chris Sale won the Triple Crown. It's kind of hard to argue that. But Zach Wheeler had an absolutely incredible year that 90% of seasons would have won him a Cy Young. It's just kind of where he's ended up.
Many Zach Wheeler years, I feel,
yeah, at this point. But a blood clot in his throwing shoulder, that is the really scary thing. And you just don't know what that's going to be. So apparently we got some odds on the Nick Pivetta and NL Cy Young, the betting odds. I don't think I would touch that with a 10-foot pole, but not saying he's been bad. I would never, ever bet on Nick Pivetta.
You gotta be bold. You gotta be bold. And, if you had made that bet at the beginning of the year, you probably would, potential for some big
folks money. Would have really thought you were dumb at the beginning of the year. Now,
I don't think so.
Fairly smart.
I think Pivetta's stuff to me has always looked amazing. And I honestly feel like I personally saw this year coming from him, just being able to stay, if he could stay healthy for a full year, and locate the stuff. I think it was somewhat clear to me that he could definitely be that type of guy.
Yes, I will correct that. Nick Pivetta to me always seemed along the lines of Nate Eovaldi, that when Eovaldi is healthy, Eovaldi is arguably an ace level pitcher, but he's just so rarely healthy for a full season, 25 to 35 starts, that he never gets considered in that line of that level of pitcher.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where Pivetta has always been. And not to mention Pivetta, when Pivetta goes bad, he has really bad blowups.
Yeah. And he's the Tyler O'Neill of pitchers, I feel like.
So I doubt he can flex that well though. So
yeah. We've dubbed a nickname for Tyler O'Neill in the Orioles fan base. You may have heard. We refer to him as General Soreness, because he's, for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. Yeah. So we had a question in the chat, and I want to come back and make sure I hit this. Someone currently in first, 14-team head-to-head dynasty, and has an offer to trade away his Colt Keith and J.J. Weatherholt for Ketel Marte. Man, I got to say, unless you know that this is a team, this is a league dominated on an annual basis, if you got a chance to take the flag, I make that play for Ketel. My only concern is what is going on in that clubhouse right now.
Yeah,
and with them now, with them falling out of it in the race, might they sit him and get more looks at someone like Jordan Lawler, or bring up Tommy Troy or some of those type of guys, and bench him some? If there is a legit, issue in the clubhouse with him, he might not see the field as much as you would expect a superstar to get. But he is absolutely a superstar, especially in second base, because that very well might be the weakest fantasy position in all of fantasy baseball right now, is second base. And Marte is a legit guy who, even without a weak position, is probably a second round pick and in fantasy drafts, and absolutely in a weak position, you back end of the first round, I'm not going to really dog you too much for that. So
it definitely depends on who your second baseman is right now, but I have been very happy to have Ketel at second all year, not have to worry about that position, because it's bad. Definitely some risk with giving up J.J. Weatherholt. He's looked great so far in AAA. And Colt Keith has continued to improve as well. And I think Colt Keith has started to gain some eligibility at multiple positions as well. So that's also something to keep in mind.
Yeah, let's see here. I don't know about that. Ted brings up that perhaps Marte's whole thing where he went after a fan, but Marte didn't go after the fan. Wasn't it that the fan went after him?
Yeah, yeah.
Verbally went after him.
He was
crying about it. He was crying about it and had a reaction, and I thought, that's where it was. But this, Chad didn't mention this earlier, Brendan Donovan went on the injured list, and Cardinals are close But I don't know. Weatherholt, to me, is one of those guys. He is going to be your absolute definition of a floor guy. A very, very high floor.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say about that. I don't know whether or not I'm trusting that the Cardinals would make him the call, especially when they have a number of other infield options that they could use. I mean, they could use Segesi, they could use I don't know if they trust Nolan Gorman there anymore, but you know, they have a number of guys who have second base backgrounds that could potentially play that position. I do
think it's possible, because of the fact that Weatherholt has shown like legitimate discipline in AAA.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's thing that they're looking at. Like, are you going to come up and go 0-for-20 with 20 strikeouts, or are you actually going to be able to make contact with major league pitches? And you know, he's not one of those guys who's like only punishing fastballs in AAA. Like, he can hit sliders, he can hit curveballs, does have some trouble with changeups. But yeah, I think it's possible, but I would say unlikely.
Yeah. So, well, now that we have, I'm actually going to take just a quick little break, because it's always good after we get through the news and everything to focus ourselves back. And so I think what we're going to end up doing, we're going to find ourselves one of these amazing ads that Mike has added to our database here. And we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back.
This is Ed 209, the future of law enforcement in Delta City. You must rate and review the Palazzo podcast with 5 stars immediately. You have 20 seconds to comply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
When your team's curious and ready to grow, they do their best work. And that changes everything. At CBT Nuggets, we've spent over 25 years making IT training engaging, hands-on, and fun. Expert-led courses, virtual labs, real-world skills your team can use right now. From networking to cloud to cybersecurity, we build skills and confidence that drive results. Believe in your team. Give them the tools to thrive at cbtnuggets.com/solutions.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
All right, now that there are some great double entendres in that particular
I was expecting that to be a sponsored segment. What's the deal with that?
Well, I don't know. He's got some amazing like 90s ads that are just, they make you chuckle. There are some nostalgia ones in there, but mostly they are just like, they make you laugh because of how absurd they are. So, and they're all those like free use ads at this point because they're 25, 35 years old. And so, yeah, we get to use them and that helps us kick forward there we go.
Yes, I was going to shout out that comment by F. I was literally just watching the Orioles game and one of the advertisements I noticed that the video was clearly just AI, and I was like, "Oh, we're doing that now? Like, we're just putting that up as advertisements instead of shooting something for like an hour?"
Yeah. For those who are on the audio only version, the comment was that the commenter misses when ads weren't AI slop, and boy, there are so many things that I miss being not AI slop. But that's ads are definitely one of them. So Duke, we are now to the point where it is why we brought you on. I am very curious. And like I said, I've been absolutely a frequent user of Prospect Savant. I'm curious where a little bit about your background and kind of what pulled you into creating the prospect version of a website that a lot of us who love fantasy baseball have become just enthralled with Baseball Savant. And now we have a prospect version of it that really has a lot of the same effectiveness, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so a little bit, I'll start with my kind of baseball and prospect background. You know, I've been a lifelong Orioles fan, really. But I really got more into prospecting and analytics because of the very long Orioles rebuild. Because, you know, you gotta find something to look forward to. I'm in Norfolk, Virginia right now, just visiting right now. But I did spend a lot of time here when I was growing up. I went to lots of Norfolk Tides games. So I got the opportunity to see some of the core guys like, you know, Gunnar and Adley come up through the system, got, you know, chances to chat with them at games, which is just awesome. But yeah, it's a good way to still enjoy baseball when you have a really bad team that you're following. It's kind of to follow the minor league systems. But in terms of my, you know, job and creation background, I'm a full stack software engineer, a couple years removed from graduating from Virginia Tech. So a lot of what I'm doing at my day job is basically essentially the same stuff that I'm doing for Prospect Savant. I'm you know, taking data, getting it into a database, making a backend API to pull it from the database, process that data, and then send it forward to my little front end website where it gets made into, you know, the fancy little red and blue sliders and all sorts of graphs and charts. But I started working on Prospect Savant around last July, around last trade deadline, actually. Mm-hmm. Because the individual Trackman feeds had started being released on the minor league search on Baseball mm-hmm. Savant. And I was kind of just sitting around like, all right, like when's minor league Savant? Like, come on guys, like somebody do the minor league Savant. Like, I want to see it. And yeah, like the main thing was the deadline. It's like, you don't really have a great idea of kind of the tools for some of these guys, unless you're looking at prospect reports, which are, you know, outdated in some cases. So yeah, I started working on it myself. There was actually, I mentioned this on Cards and Categories, but there was one big Orioles trade last deadline that really made me annoyed. And I was like, all right, I gotta see what these pages look like. Do you know what trade that would be?
Would that potentially be the one that you're referencing in your status, the Richards trade that sent away potentially top 10, well, certainly top 10 MVP, potentially top 5 MVP this year, Kyle Stowers.
Kyle Stowers. He's a guy that I had chatted with so many times in Norfolk, and he was just so blocked for the Orioles, and they didn't really bring him up to give him a solid run of playing time. And it was pretty clear to me that, like, the pop was there, and there was some semblance of discipline, and it was just mm-hmm. he was getting up there in age, so it was either, you know, he comes up to the Orioles or they trade him for some controllable pitching. You know, at the time, I was furious. I won't lie. I was like, what on earth are we doing with this trade?
Our guy Mike Virginia, his biggest issue with that deal was Nordby.
Yeah, Nordby was like, the main guy in that deal. Stowers like, has turned out to be the prize, but yeah.
Yeah, that's just, well, and wasn't there, I thought there was a third piece in that deal, or was it just those two? I mean, I'm pulling up.
It might have been like a comp pick if there was something else, but
no, it was just those two. Okay, for some reason, I thought there was like a random, because that was the deadline. I thought there was like some random, like very low A ball type of pitcher, you know, relief pitcher. In
Michael Elias would never be a low A pitcher. Like,
yes, there you go. Good point.
He does. I think he cares more about those guys than the major league roster sometimes, I won't lie.
Well, and of course, it's not just that, that they made that trade. It's how absolutely putrid it turned out.
Yes. He was, because, I mean, Rodgers didn't even make the postseason roster. He got sent down to AAA. Like, he wasn't even on the Orioles for the regular season. But then somehow, oh my gosh, like, I missed the end of his start tonight, but I don't know how he's doing this. Like, I feel like I very often know what's going on with these players and how they're achieving this type of success. But Trevor Rodgers is just confounding me this year. I mean, he's locating all of his pitches, but, like, nothing is popping in stuff models. I mean, it's just he's limiting hard contact and locating his pitches, and his ERA is, like, what? Like, 1.4 right now over 70-plus innings.
What's nuts is in 8 minor league starts, he had a 5.51. He was bad. I mean, 32 and a 2/3 innings, 42 hits allowed. So, yeah, he was keeping – I mean, he wasn't walking many, but 42 hits allowed in 32 innings. You know, that's –
and then you come up to the big leagues and are unhittable for 75 innings. Like,
in fact, he has allowed – he's still – well, up before tonight's start, he had allowed more – hits in 32 and 2/3 innings in the minors than in 69 and a third innings in the majors. That's not true anymore, but still, holy crap.
69 and a third. He must be off to the side kind of watching.
I get you. So that bugged you and created this. What was some of the most difficult part of putting a website like this together?
Oh my gosh. Well, at first, the export feature on Baseball Savant for the minor league search, the export feature didn't work. You couldn't, like, just pull the data. So I once again got very annoyed and made a MacGyver solution where I pulled the entire HTML of the leaderboard and, like, parsed just the actual, like, code for the table itself to pull those numbers instead. And then, like, even at the beginning of this season, the probability tables for, like, X slugging and XBA, X WOBA, they weren't set up. So, like, for the first couple weeks of this season, the minor league data wasn't working. I had to hunt down Tom Tango and be like, hey, can you can you fix this, please?
Yeah.
Because, like, this is breaking my stuff. So if you could fix that, that would be great. And then he did very quickly. So shout out to Tom Tango for that.
It's incredible how easy it is to break something like that when you start to get into things like that. And, you know, the best part is, it's how easy it is to fix it, but how little, almost always, it's a little tiny dang thing.
Oh, yeah.
And you fix that little tiny dang thing and everything works fine, but it's when you don't have that little tiny thing, like, son of a...
yeah. I mean, good. I get emails that I do want to receive about bugs, because, like, if I don't find them, they're not getting fixed. So, like, but it's always just like, oh, like, I... There was one funny bug recently with Spencer Jones, actually, where for, like, specific, like, his slugging against specific pitches, like, normally it would be like 0.475, and in the code I'm cutting off the zero from the 0.475, but instead of cutting off a zero, because Spencer Jones was slugging so well against, like, sliders or something, it was like a 1.745 slugging. It was cutting off the one just because of how insane Spencer Jones has been.
Yeah, that's a whole nother. That we could do a whole podcast.
We could do a series on Spencer Jones, I'm sure.
Yes. So for you this year, I've used it throughout the year. I've kind of, you'd notice little things pop up and new features and new things every so often that I've really enjoyed. I use it a lot more on pitchers, and to me, I love all the different features that are being added on pitching that you've done. For you, in your own prospect enjoyment, what are some of the most fun features that you've been able to put onto your website and see how they worked?
I would definitely say one of the top ones for me would be EV90, actually. That's kind of a random one to pick. But I think as of right now, Prospects of On is the only location for AAA EV90 numbers. And that's kind of where the discussion is shifting for Mac, like high-end power, more from Max EV over to EV90. So I think I might be the first person to put that out. That actually, my data gets fed into the Oopsie projection system from Jordan Rosenblum.
Oh, okay.
And that was an awesome opportunity to get to have, because it's like I'm looking at the Oopsie projections every day, and then, you know, one day I have the creator asking me like, hey, can I add your numbers into this thing that you look at every day? I'm like, yeah, of course, take whatever you want, man, like whatever you want. Yeah, but EV90 is definitely one. I'm still working on a stuff model. PS Stuff Plus right now is kind of in its infancy, I would say. But I think it does a decent job of saying whether a pitch is like a plus pitch or just not really a great offering. That's something I want to continue to improve down the line. One more thing that I probably had the most like fun trying to add, just see if I could, was imputing the arm angle. Because the arm angle does not hurt that cast. I am calculating that myself based on the release points and the listed height of the pitcher.
Okay.
And I feel like it's starting to be somewhat accurate. It's not completely accurate, but it's better than you're going to get anywhere else because there is no anything anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. And I was just going to pull up. I decided I was going to get into the Stuff Plus to try and use an example, but then of course the person I decided to pull up was Mizorowski, and that doesn't help me at all because
his is
like 115 plus across the board. Yeah. So, this is a really good example. For those who watched Didier Fuentes come up, Fuentes is absolutely a fastball dominant pitcher, uses it like two-thirds of the time, but it's probably closer to an average pitch, and his sweeper, it 100% relies on whether or not he's locating it, because it really isn't on break alone. It is not a great pitch on the actual. I mean, if he can locate it, that's great. What's really his best pitch as far as swing and miss that worked in the majors was his change, his split change. And lo and behold, I'm looking at this and I'm like, you know, this is about right. I usually, my personal thought is if I'm looking at the Stuff Plus number you have on your site and it's more than 5 plus or minus on 100,
exactly,
I'm looking at. I know I'm looking at a really good pitch or a really poor pitch, or not necessarily a really poor, but certainly a below average pitch. And the only one that falls outside of that 5 mark is the splitter, and that one's 109. And that's absolutely, you know, if anyone watched him in the majors, you saw that. You saw that is a wicked pitch as a raw pitch. The rest of it requires him to locate stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, when you're what, 6 foot? Yeah, 6 foot, and you're a small guy and you're 19 years old, that's probably, you don't have a 98 in the back pocket. That's what you got to rely on. You got to do that sort of stuff with your pitches. So, yeah, I think that that's definitely a number that I love looking at. So that's a good call.
I don't want to derail the conversation here, but since you're a Braves fan, I have to ask you, there is one reliever in the Braves AAA system that I get asked about every day. Like someone posts about this guy every day. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Is it Lara?
It's Lara. Yeah. What's this guy's deal?
Carlos. John Carlos Lara was a fringe starter who always had velo.
Mm-hmm.
And they put him into the bullpen full time for the first time. Was it late last season or might even just been this year? But he, for some reason, they've been, if you know the way that the Braves train breaking pitches, they sort of like that that cement mixer curveball. It's kind of a mix of a curveball and a slider. It's a really hard curve, but it kind of breaks like a slider. Luke Jackson was the master of that pitch, and then they taught it to Strider. Strider throws the dang thing 90 miles an hour, so it's a little different world. But that's the type of slider that they slider slash curve that they try to teach everyone. And Lara, with a guy who throws 103, could never seem to get that pitch to work as a starter. And he moved into the bullpen, and all of a sudden that pitch is really, it's eating. I mean, it looks
many, many such cases, really, of just guys throwing heat as starters, and then you got to give up on them at a certain point. Joe Boyle, it might be time to move Joe Boyle.
Makes me sad. But yeah. No, and you know the thing is with Lara, I don't know that he was ever – I guess, okay, I didn't realize that the, well, actually, that's this year's numbers. The numbers last year were not that bad as a starter. We're talking a 3.92 ERA. He got up to double A for five starts.
I can't imagine the
terrible
walk rate was.
But he just can't. Yeah, his walk rate was crap. 60 walks in 82 and two-thirds innings. You can't do that as a starter.
Can't do that.
And that's the other thing. It's not great in the bullpen so far this year, but he has been having more issues with being squeezed since he moved up to AAA than he's been having with actually truly missing the zone terribly.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
He's hitting the edges of the zone and getting a ball called, which was a legit ball, but it's one of those where with the type of stuff he has, he's going to get that swing and miss a lot. And so you live with a little bit of that. The other big thing that I love about his conversion full-time into the bullpen, nobody can square him up.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean 97th, like, percentile whiff rate. Let me put a pitch qualifier on that because it'll probably go higher. Like, guys in AAA, they've never seen anything like this before when they're going up against this guy.
And that's the – where's your the barrels percentage? I saw that. That was one that when I looked him up not too long ago, I was blown away at how low his barrels were.
Yeah, you're not like, even if you do touch, it's probably not going to be, it's going to be like a grounder or something or a pop up.
So, yeah, he's, and that doesn't surprise me. You're talking, you've got a max velo this year in AAA, a 102. I said, I know there were talks in spring training that he had uncorked a 103, which, you know, That's the type of guy you're working with, the guy who averages in the upper 90s and frequently hits triple digits. I'll be honest, I was quite expecting that they were going to move Raisel Iglesias at the deadline, along with maybe someone like Pierce Johnson. There's a few other guys in that bullpen I thought maybe are going to move, and that they were going to just bring up someone like Lara and see what they have for future, because as much as I appreciate how well Iglesias has pitched in the last month or so, he's still a guy that reaches back a long, long ways to pull out 96.
Yeah.
You know,
control does he have left?
Iglesias is pretty solid. He's a changeup first, or changeup is his.
Oh, no. I mean, like, how much longer is he on the team?
Contract control. He might have one more year. I thought he was a free agent this year.
Yeah, because if he is a free agent this year, I don't understand at all why they wouldn't have traded him.
Which, for some reason, there might be. I'm pulling her up here. It is through 25. He's a free agent at the end of this year, which is interesting. Yeah, and then like Chad mentioned, instead they traded for another pen arm to block him. They traded for Kinley. They brought in Hunter Stratton, which these are legit major league relievers. I'm not complaining about having more major league relievers in the bullpen, but God dang, when you got guys like that sitting in AAA and you don't have anyone like that from the right-hand side. Now, Dylan Lee for a lefty is that kind of a guy. I don't think he's ever gone over triple digits. He's been one of those guys that's like, it's a 99-4, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
When he really reaches back, but it's wicked, wicked stuff from the left side. You don't have anyone like that from the right side. You got Pierce Johnson's curveball. You've got, you know, Raisel Iglesias, who lives with a changeup. Yeah, Lara is. And that's another one. When I pull up your percentage, your leaderboard on that, the fact that he sits second this year is kind of like, holy crap.
I will say for pitchers, I do need to make an adjustment a little bit on starters versus relievers more than I already do. Because it's like Robbie Snelling, Jacob Mizrowski, Bubba Chandler, and sandwiched between them is, you know, the random guy from the Braves who can throw one or two.
I think you spotted one that really, to me, is amazing, and that is Troy Melton. I think he was tremendously underrated by people before he came up. And then, you know, I said, Robbie Snelling, I think, went through about a month where his numbers were not great. But other than that, this year has really reclaimed his prospect status.
Yeah, Peter Bendick's masterclass on that one. He is, I mean, just like the page speaks for itself. It's all red. Like, he's doing
it. Yeah.
The guys in AAA have no idea what to do against him, and he's only 21.
And that's just it. He's got time to figure this out. The one who caught my eye, and he isn't on your first page if you've got it, nice one, but Kyle Harrison's not that far off, and this is a guy that just seems to never get a shot, a shot.
Yeah, during the Devers trade, Red Sox fans were not happy to hear this, but I was like, hey, Red Sox fans, this guy Kyle Harrison is actually really good in AAA. And they're like, "What? We don't care. We don't care how good he is in AAA. We traded away Rafi Devers," which I get. But yeah, I do think there is some serious potential with Kyle Harrison.
And the biggest thing to me is, where are you pitching? Kyle Harrison was with an organization who is tremendous at finding what is your one pitch that can make you a stud. You know, let's get Kevin Gausman and let's really lean into that splitter. You know, let's get, you know, whatever it is. If it's a two-seam fastball, Alex Cobb, or if it's, you know, all these guys, they lean into what do you do really well, and let's lean into that and throw it darn near two-thirds of the time. Harrison, they never did that with when he was up in the majors. I never understood that. This is what that organization does well, and they never did it with Harrison. But anyway, we should probably continue forward here a little bit, because one of the things I really wanted to chat with you about, let's ask one more quick question on the website. What are some things, Duke, that you are working to still implement that you haven't quite gotten there yet?
So many things. I mean, it's really just... if I had more free time, there would be so much more on there. Like just the ideas I have written down, like it's a whole list. Like spray charts, arsenal changes over time, just trending graphs in general for how, you know, like if someone's improving their whiff rate, you can see that. Pitch heat maps. I've been saying I'm going to add pitch heat maps like for forever to see if guys are hitting their locations. That's something that I personally really want to see. You know, handedness usage mixes for pitchers based on lefties and righties who they're facing. Add something like a AAA probables grid, you know, like a promotion tracker. I think I could honestly do catcher framing scores. I have ideas upon ideas, but I do not have time upon time because you know, I do have a 9-to-5 job that I still need to do in addition to this.
And right now, basically all you can get is AAA and Florida State League, correct?
Yes, AAA and Florida State League, yeah. Hoping that'll be expanded, but I don't know. I don't get the idea that teams are like, hey, like, here's our data, everybody. Like,
yeah.
Every other team, come look at our data.
I But I will say part of the push, unfortunately, for communities that lost their minor league team in the push to 120 after COVID, a lot of those changes were made because Major League Baseball took over Minor League Baseball, which had kind of operated as its own independent entity. And the one of the first things they did is went through stadiums and said, we need to be able to have better ability to put technology into the stadium, whether that's a video, whatever, whether that's StatCast tracking, whatever. That was a big push in all levels of baseball, which that's when you started to see a little bit of the Florida State League. And I went, woohoo, hey, we're going to get some stuff. We're going to get some more stuff rather than just, you know, for years, if you knew Baseball Savant, you could type in a game code to the minor league game and it would pop it up and tell you all the what happened in that game, but you had to know the right code for the minor league game that you were interested in, and that was how you had to pull it off in order to see it. And which I'm sure, you know, you've seen, you're the one who's pulling a lot of this stuff. That's kind of some of that background stuff. But then that started to pop up for a low A level, and you're like, oh, hey, cool, we're gonna really get this soon. And that's kind of where they've stayed now for a couple of years, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, so kind of the reason that I'm making an assumption here, I'm pretty sure it's just because those are spring training stadiums for the most part for Florida State. 9 out of 10 of them actually have it. There's one ballpark, Jackie Robinson Stadium, where the Daytona Tubas play. That is not spitting out that data, but I don't think spring training games actually happen at Jackie Robinson Stadium. I think
no,
somewhere else. But yeah, it's basically just wherever the technology is. Like I think specifically Hawkeye technology for ABS.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the stadiums that are outputting the data.
And that's, you saw that immediately in the Pacific Coast League. I think it was International League in certain stadiums right away had it. And so if you knew if your guy was going to, Scranton-Wilkes-Barre was one that I always remember had it in their stadium. And so you knew if your guy was going to play there, you were going to get to actually see what's the stuff. And that was like early on. And then that was all that they had for, you know, there was like three International League teams who had it for a little while. But yeah, like you said, with the adaptation of the ABS system, that's seems to be when all of AAA kind of came on board.
Yeah. And once they start, you know, experimenting with more stuff like the, you know, swing check, I imagine at that point, what I really love to see, I want so badly, is bat speed data. And I'm hoping that we start getting that soon.
Yeah. So next thing, we'll transition here just to kind of close some things out. I'd love to get into some players that you have noticed have really nice looking pages on your site. And of course, then we'll do the flip side as well here after that. But just kind of some guys that maybe caught your attention. I will bring up one right away. First one, I brought up your overall leader list on hitters, and I won't say it blew me away because I love him, but Cole Young being the second rated hitter on that list really caught my eye. And he's a great example of a guy who does a lot of things above average and nothing at a plus level, but you know, a lot of things plus average totals out to be a really, really good prospect. And he's held his own in the majors. He hasn't excelled yet, but, you know, he hasn't fallen on his face yet either. So,
yeah, I think kind of there are two types of really popular prospects in AAA that people look at. And it's the guys that have, you know, all red everywhere, but like maybe not elite everywhere. And then it's like the elite power guys like Spencer Jones. And Cole Young is one of those red everywhere, but not like completely everywhere type of guys. Like he will offer, you know, a good K rate. He's not going to whiff on most pitches. He has a good idea of what the zone is. But that means that he can come up and not completely flounder. He's not just going to get abused by major league pitching. But yeah, I'd say he's maybe not necessarily more of a floor guy, but the floor is definitely there.
That's a great way to put it. I was going to pull this up. You know, it's hard to be slow on some of these things like I am. But there we go. Cole
says F in the chat.
So, oh, there you go, Chip. That's awesome. We got a home run and four RBI tonight. I'll take that any day of the week.
Another win for Prospect One. They just keep coming.
This is the sliders for Cole Young. And yeah, as you see, the overall score up here is 100 is a perfect score. This is the second highest score that any hitter has gotten. But man, you go look here. Like you said, everything is red. Nothing might be at 99, but everything is red. I mean, a whole lot. There's a few things on here, but you know, he swings a lot.
The further down you get, stuff like pull error and swing percentage are not necessarily more of the blue or red types of things. Like, you don't need to have a high swing percentage. You don't need to have a high pull error percentage. But, like, it's something that I like having on there. A weird kind of specific example for that is Roman Anthony, actually. If you pull up his page, like, it's obviously just a big old block of red. But then you'll see for the swing percentage, he's being very selective. You know, with his pitch choices. And honestly, that is kind of something that I like to see out of prospects, that they're not just going up there and flailing out everything. Like, they're going up there and they're knowing what they're looking for, and they're showing the ability to punish it when they actually get it.
So, who are some of the other guys that you're looking at?
Gotcha. Yeah. So one guy that is just, he's been at near the top of the list all season, the entire time that I've worked on this website. And it really has confounded me. It's Hao Yu Lee of the Detroit Tigers. Not a top 100 anywhere. I can't even imagine he's close to a top 100 anywhere. He might be after this season, but like, He's just doing everything for someone that I went into this season having never heard of, really. And he's putting out, you know, good high max end power, good raw power, and he's showing a pretty solid discipline. Like, he's gotten a lot of plate appearances. He's up to 449 now. So if you set that pitch qualifier up a little bit higher, it does make Page look a little bit more impressive. Compared to, you know, the guys who have been spending like all that time at AAA. But yeah, just another guy like Cole Young who's doing everything well, showing off like decent, not great discipline, but better, you know, better raw power in some ways than Cole Young. Like, he's showing off some pop. He's showing off good speed as well. I mean, seven triples on the season. He's 94th percentile for Fangraphs speed score.
That's something I never thought his profile was going to bring. I kind of thought he might, you know, I really thought the Tigers essentially had two of the same profile with him and McGonagall. McGonagall is just blown up this year. Yeah. But I thought, you know, Lee was probably more your, I'm going to give you 40 doubles and hit 290. And that's probably... fantasy owners are going to be really frustrated because there's not going to be a ton of home runs to go with that. There's not going to be a ton of stolen bases to go with that. But pound, you know, doubles, doesn't get fooled, makes good solid contact every time out. Great. That's a guy who can sit at the, you know, eighth spot of your lineup all day long.
Absolutely.
Or the two spot in an old school lineup. But, you know, that type of a guy that kind of advances the ball, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, the power, I don't know where that came from this year. That's absolutely been a big deal this year.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said he was on my radar, like, really at all before this season. I'm not a super deep prospect analyst, which, you know, I probably shouldn't say as the guy who made Prospect Savant, but it's like I'm mostly dealing with the guys I'm dealing with the guys that I have data for. So you know, the AAA guys and the FSL guys. So yeah, someone like this who's not ranked in the top 100, like if you come into this season, I, for the most part, unless I'm doing a deep dive into every team's top 30, it's not someone that's on my radar. Because like I don't play Dynasty right now. Frankly, just don't have time to. So I'm not too concerned with you know, trying to find all of these hidden gems. You know, yeah. I do definitely. I enjoy being an analyst, but I definitely would consider myself, you know, a software engineer first.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. And so I was just looking through, trying to find who's the first on the leaderboard. Who's the first? When you're looking at the A versus the AAA, who's the first one that kind of catches your attention on the lower level? I mean, obviously,
it's Enable?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my gosh. Everyone and their mom has been yelling at me about Edward Florentino lately. I didn't know too much about him. He's only 18, but right now he's currently my top guy in A ball. 100.4 on his 90th percentile exit velocity for an 18-year-old is just absurd.
Yeah.
Like, what, I don't know what his actual build is like. I mean, he's listed at 6'4", 200, but to be able to get that type of pop at 18 years old is pretty absurd. He's running a 151 WRC plus in Florida State League right now.
It's just insane.
Just doing everything well. One thing that I do notice with a lot of the A-ball guys who hit well is they're all usually for the most part just free swingers. He's not in general. I mean, he's swinging 38% of the time. And I mean, his strikeout rate, 24%, isn't great, but when you're a young guy, that's kind of to be expected. But the fact that he's not flailing at everything and also putting out this type of power output is just it's pretty eye popping, and it's the Pirates are having a lot of guys like pop up, like Connor Griffin, obviously, but yeah, just guys spawning in out of nowhere, really.
And he's Florentino's an interesting one in that looking at his physical build right now, he can handle outfield. But I think that frame looks like he could very quickly be a first base only guy. He's got a wide shoulder, wide hip frame that if he doesn't add smart to that frame, it's going to be bad in a hurry.
I need to add like a build section. Yeah.
I'm not trying to give you more work to do or anything here, Derek, but that is, that's absolutely, he's one who has absolutely caught people's eyes. I did notice that you had last year's top two draft or high school draft picks, Connor Griffin, Bryce Rainier, both top five guys on your list for A-ball this year, which that's what you want to see if you're Detroit and if you're Pittsburgh. You want to see that your high pick guy. The one that caught my attention was someone who I will tell you, I had no clue who he was before I started going through your site and looking at the A-ball guys. And that's Sam Shaw. Like, this is kind of blowing me. You're talking about a ninth round pick out of Canadian high school, I believe. And so.
Yeah. I can't say I'm familiar with Lambert Park SS.
Yeah. Well, SS is usually a Canadian high school, secondary school, I think is what it stands for.
I see. Okay.
But
the local still, guy in like, some ways then.
Yeah, there you go. But I mean, geez, that's a really nice slider line. It's really
no kidding.
Top to bottom.
And you'll just see guys like this pop up, and that's kind of been one of the best parts for me is to like, you know, see the guys who haven't quite made it to those top 100 lists yet, because you're not going to get a lot of reporting on those guys. But like, it's so easy to just pull up a page like this and see do I see red? Is there red on my screen? And if there is, you know, it probably means they're doing something right.
The barrel rate to me is what really caught my eye earlier this year when I looked, because I, you know, the EV is not amazing. His exit velocity is not amazing, but he's really squaring up stuff when he makes contact. That's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, in contactability alone can do a lot for you.
Yep. And that's a guy to me that I'm thinking I'm going to probably need to dig in a little more of this offseason, figure out, you know, is this a guy, it says, you know, it has on here second base outfield. I don't know. I haven't watched enough Florida State League this year to know, is he a crap defender and, you know, being a great hitter is the only way he's going to make it. You know, it's one of those things you're certainly going to want to find out, though. So,
yeah, I'd be lying if I said I was watching too much Florida State League footage on a day-to-day basis.
Some of that is just raw.
Who are these 18-year-olds playing baseball? Yeah. Let's see what they're up to.
That sounds like a Wander Franco comment.
I mean, I'm around that age too. So,
although I will say, I should have looked up his page better when I before the trade, but one of the biggest trade acquisitions to me, as far as his line, is someone that your Orioles got, and that's Wellington Araceno.
Yes. Araceno?
Oh my gosh. Like, I started reading reports on him and I thought, holy crap, I think the Orioles might have just won that trade on this guy alone. So
yeah, if you look at the top two fastest pitchers in Florida State League this year, it's Ramon Gomez. Wellington Araceno, who were both acquired by the Orioles this past deadline. Gomez specifically hit 104.5. And I have to wonder if that was a StatCast misread, but then I went and looked at it, and he's doing that like every time. Like, he's throwing up, like, he's pumping out 103 like every time.
I would say he's very consistently 103. So you reach back one time and pull out a 104.5. That's not crazy. You know, it's kind of your 96 guy suddenly popping out a 98. That's not crazy, you know? And so, but it's just a number that's so absurd in our brains to think about someone throwing 104.5. And especially at, what, 19, 20? Isn't that what Gomez is? Is about 20, but... Araceno, man, that's a pretty line. Red all across the board. It's just the walk rate, but, you know, 20-year-old kid throwing that kind of heat, you're going to probably miss the zone a little bit because you can afford to, frankly.
To me, that number is, like, I wouldn't even say bad, like, for this type of player. I'll admit there was some disappointment for me that the Orioles didn't acquire AAA pitching or guys that, you know, could crack the rotation this year. But like, I've really been coming around on some of these returns. I mean, just looking at like when it's the top two guys on my leaderboard and you get both, it's hard for me to be like, good job. I mean, obviously it hurt me deeply to see Cedric Mullins go. But, I mean, when you're getting a return like that for half a season of Mullins, it's like, it's hard to say no to.
And I will say, Desaun Hill is one of my absolute favorite prospects right now. I loved him last year when the Twins got him. Been doing everything he needed to do so far. And I'm really excited to see what he does.
Yeah, I got to see him come up so there can be a D Hill. Another D Hill. We got Derek Hill right now, but we'll pump more out for sure.
There you go. Well, so we've looked at some good guys. For you, Duke, who are some guys that you're surprised how bad their slider lines or their slider board or their page in general is?
Yeah, so throughout the course of development, I always try to look over at top 100 lists and kind of compare to where they're falling on my PS score list. And there's just one guy who just screams at me every time that he's not really putting it together in AAA to justify kind of where he's at on these lists. and that's Carson Williams of the Tampa Bay Rays. He's just floundering in AAA. I mean, he's whiffing at everything. He's striking out everything. The speed is there. He's knocked the ball 111.7, but he's just not hitting. I mean, his AAA WRC plus is a 97. And it's not like he's one of these, you know, 20-year-olds in AAA who's just getting up there early. Like, I'm going to say 22 is young because it's slightly younger than me. But like, yeah, for where he's, how highly he's ranked, like Fangraphs has him at 14th overall, just to see him completely overmatched in AAA and not really showing any signs of improvement over the course of the season has me a little bit concerned. I do think, you know, there's definitely most of his rank comes from his great speed and fielding ability, and those aren't showing up as well on those pages. But yeah, I mean, he's just not hitting at all.
And I mean, this is, in my opinion, this is probably the best natural shortstop defender in the minors right now, but he's still got a hit.
And I think that
gives him a really good base to work with. But boy, there was a lot of people coming into this year that thought he might spend half the year as the starting shortstop in Tampa. And obviously that is not where he's at development right now.
Yeah, it's like you're slowly moving down kind of what your ceiling is looking like from like Bobby Witt. Now you're down to like Mason Wynn. And it's like, where are we going now? Is this maybe like O'Neill Cruz? I don't think he would get moved off shortstop though.
No, I think the defense is so good that's you're talking a shortstop version probably of Ke'Bryan Hayes,
where he's
put up with a lot of like a mediocre offensive profile. There's so much good there that it's for his real baseball profile that unfortunately I think folks are willing to live with that because the defense is so good that they're just going to go, oh, that's okay. I'll pass on that personally.
Yeah. But, and one thing that's kind of tough is like the obvious fix isn't like, I don't see the obvious fix, especially when looking at specifically his like pitch type performance. He's kind of just not really hitting anything great. Like he's not doing great against fastballs. He's not doing great against breakables. He's not doing great against off speed. He's just not hitting.
And a big thing to me is he hits the ball hard.
Mm-hmm.
He just misses the ball so much. And especially,
I
was blown, and you know, without even looking at what you got on here, the stuff in the zone that he misses is maddening. If you want to be a major league ball player, you cannot miss a pitch that ends up somehow middle. So,
yeah, I mean, he's missing it at like 20% of the pitches that he swings at that are in the zone, which just isn't going to work out. 38.6 whiff rate overall. You can't do that.
So I got one question here for you that somebody popped up in the chat. I'm assuming that he's talking about the disclaimer at the very bottom of the site that Prospect Savant is not affiliated with MLB nor with any of their digital properties and all that jazz. I don't know. Is there something that had happened that you gotta be careful about?
Oh no, I'm just trying to cover my legal bases because I worry every day that I'll wake up to a call from Rob Manfred saying shut this down. You can't use our data anymore for this. We know that but you can't use it anymore.
If you get a call from Rob Manfred, feel free to go Bryce Harper on him. So that's
I will. Yeah,
and it all comes back in circles. Mike's daughter is named Bryce, and so there we go. We can start throwing stuff out at old Rob Manfred for what he has to say. So, I think we've spent almost an hour and a half chatting here. I've really enjoyed it. I thank you a ton for coming on. Hopefully, our viewers and our listeners have gotten a lot of great information tonight, and more than anything, check out Prospect Savant. trust me, you're gonna, this is, to me, Baseball Savant was one of those things that all of a sudden I'd look up and I'd spent 3 hours on a, just diving into stuff. This is exactly the same thing. You get into the minors, you want to learn about these guys that are step away in AAA, and you start digging in, you can spend just hours upon hours looking at, like, holy cow, you know, why is Giancarlo Lara looking like the next Jacob DeGrom right now? What's going on here? And that's, if nothing else, it kicks you into, boy, I should really go see what that player looks like. You know, maybe I need to take a second look at him as a player when you see someone that you're not expecting. You know, Haiyu Lee, I've always thought he's one of those guys that's going to come to the majors and have a 10-year career without ever being a top 100 guy. Well, now he's hitting enough to where he's probably at least going to be a top 100 guy this year. But that's those type of profile players all of a sudden show up on your leaderboard.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to get to know players that are almost certainly going to impact the major leagues. So, Duke, thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. I'll wrap up this because, you know, we do have lives, believe it or not. But for Mike, for Robbie, for little baby Bryce, I am Big Gentle Ben, Benjamin Chase, and thank you for tuning in.
Thank you so much for having me.
The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.